going to enjoy and grow through this. And so we're in a series called Shipwrecked, all right? And I would encourage you to follow along in YouVersion if you don't or haven't already figured that out. Just go to events. It should, if you let it see your map, it'll tell you Crossroads Church. And this week, I'm going to talk to you about a man named Demas. A man named Demas. So let me read the verse that I've been reading each week. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, it says this, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Folks, you see this happening all the time. You see this in your life. I see this in your lives where you are going hard and strong in the name of Jesus. And then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, has anyone seen this person for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, a year? And then I see you in Walmart and it's like we're playing a game of tag or hide and seek. And I'm like, I know they were just standing there. And the reality is this. Josh said it, at some point or another, everyone except Jesus Christ has been shipwrecked in their faith at some point. Today, I want to talk to you about a man named Demas, and if you turn over to 2 Timothy in chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it's a sad verse, and it says this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia." I saw this quote, and I wanted to share it with you, and it says this, "What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies." And the reality is this, that it doesn't matter how long you have been coming to church, you will have a crisis of faith at some point in your life. And the question is, what was your faith in? Because if your faith is in anything less than the foundation of Jesus Christ, it will probably disappear. This is what happened to Demas. Demas, we hear about him three times in Scripture. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 24, it says this, that Demas was a co-worker of Luke. And then we read again in Colossians, it just says, Demas and Luke says hello. And then 2 Timothy 4:10. 6 years have passed from the writing of Philemon into the writing of 2 Timothy. 6 years. In 6 years, Demas fell away from the faith. Today you hear about people. You hear this from many famous Christians, and they say that they deconstructed their faith. What that means is this is a fancy word for apostasy. It's a fancy word for saying they no longer believe in God. They no longer accept the word of God as true. And somehow, in modern culture, it seems a little nicer if you use a word like, or words like deconstructed your faith. If you can deconstruct your faith, I doubt that you had faith to begin with. And you may fall into the category of Demas, and I believe this, that Demas did not have a life-changing encounter with God. You know, the church is full of people who want to have an encounter with God, but the reason why they want to have an encounter with God is they want God to save their marriage. And so they come to church and they hope that being there with their wife, that that will help them. Or if they could drag their husband and convince him to get here, that that's going to save the marriage. Or they may do it because the children are now old enough, and so they want to get them there, and they want to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They may start coming to church because they're looking for favor in their job or in something else outside of the church. And the reality is, if that gets you to the church, that's okay, but that's not going to keep you in the church. Because sooner or later, you're going to realize that just coming to church isn't going to make for a great marriage. Sooner or later, you're going to realize that just coming to church isn't going to guarantee that your children walk in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Just coming to church doesn't mean that you're going to be guaranteed in your business, in your job, and get the favor that you wanted. And the reality is this, that if we are going to come to the church, we need to realize, number one, that we are wretched sinners. Say that word, wretched. Yeah, that's a special type of sinner that we all qualify as. We're wretched sinners. And not only that, but we need to realize that in God's standard, you are guilty. I don't care. I mean, some of y'all are very nice. Some of you aren't. But some of you are really nice. And even the nicest ones of you, you are guilty in God's eyes. And the reality is this, that just like Demas, every one of us are desperate for a Savior. Desperate for a Savior. Let me share with you a story about a young lady who was desperate. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, I'm going to start reading verse 36, and I just want to share this story with you today, and we'll worship some more. Verse 36 says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Now, this was a thing of honor. If a Pharisee, and in this case, it was probably the chief Pharisee of the synagogue in this city that we're going to talk about. And it says that Jesus went in into the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. And I don't know if you've ever eaten Middle Eastern style, but they don't have tables. They have carpets. And then they put all the food on the carpet and you sit around the carpet. I remember I helped my interpreter come from Afghanistan to America, picked his family up in Dearborn, Michigan. And we were sitting around the table for dinner that night. And it cracked me up because his children were walking across the table back and forth. And I'm like, you know, okay. All right. You know, welcome to America. You see Carrie and I long enough, we'll probably sit down and show you pictures of us sitting around the carpet in their house in Newark, New Jersey, many times. This is what they're doing. They're sitting around the table. In verse 37, and behold, a woman of the city. I believe the city that it's referring to is Magdala. And this woman was known, it says, she was a sinner. You could probably put there, she was a wretched sinner. You know, wretched sinners are everyone else but you, right? Like your sins aren't quite that bad, but man, her sins. And in this case, the Pharisee recognized that she was a sinner. And when she learned that he, being Jesus, was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. Now, this was not unusual because when the chief priest opened up his home, it was open up to everybody. And so, and the room wasn't big. It's probably not much bigger than this portion of the stage right here. And so you can imagine that Jesus is there and Simon the Pharisee is there. And then all the important people are now crowding in. And somehow this woman gets past security. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Oh, church, don't ever make the mistake of looking at someone else thinking like Simon the Pharisee thought. I told you when I came here as your pastor that it's our goal to bring people into this worship service that don't look like us, don't sound like us, don't talk like us, don't smell like us. Amen. And people that we don't look down on. Simon the Pharisee, he looked down on her, and now he's looking down on Jesus. Verse 40. And Jesus answering him said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of them both. And here's what I want you to understand. When they could not pay, he's talking about us. And I don't know if you owe 50 or 500, but you cannot pay the debt. And Jesus is telling this story to Simon, and he says they can't pay the debt, and so he forgives them. He says, now which of them will love him more? Verse 43, Simon answered, the one, I suppose. Have you ever replied to God's word with an I suppose? I have. I've been guilty of that. You know, I suppose you're right, God. I suppose I should try to do it that way. But you know what I've learned is that when I say I suppose, I don't mean that. And if I could find a loophole, I'm going to use it. If I could get away with it, you know, I'm going to. And that's exactly what Simon the Pharisee was thinking, that, well, I suppose for him who canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Peter's head's getting, or Simon, his head is getting bigger. Verse 44. And then turning to the woman, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. See, Simon thought he was doing an incredible thing by inviting Jesus, who his name and his popularity had just gone crazy. And as a religious leader, having him into his house was a big deal because everybody was wanting a piece of Jesus. And yet as Jesus comes through the door, instead of washing his feet, and not even Simon washing his feet, having Simon's servants wash his feet, he ignored Jesus. And Jesus told him, you see this woman, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Something happened to this lady. She didn't just hear about Jesus. I think she had had an encounter with Jesus. And she heard that he was still in town and that he was at Simon the Pharisee's house. And she snuck in and she's remembering what God has done for her, what Jesus told her. The demons that he cast out of her life, the life that he looked beyond and says, go and sin no more. And her tears were enough to cover his feet. I think there was more than tears. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had one of those cries? Like it's coming out of your eyes and your nose and your mouth. I think that, and then she's wiping it up with her hair. Can you just picture that? She lets down this hair, and you didn't do this in public, but you know what? She was a sinner. People seen her hair before. And then she starts wiping all of that off, wiping the dirt, wiping the snot, wiping the tears off of Jesus' feet. Why? Because of what had happened in her life when she encountered Jesus. And he goes on and he says, you gave me no kiss. That was normal. If you were to greet someone in your house, it would just be a little peck on the cheek on each side. He didn't wash his feet. He gave him no kiss. And this is what Jesus says, but from the time that I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. Now, some of you are like, ooh, you know, we're not that kind of Christians. You know what? When you have an encounter with God, you'll become that kind of Christian. You'll forget your pride. You'll leave it at the door and you'll experience humility. And you know what? You don't care who sees you because God saved you. God saved the wretched sinner of you. God saved the person who is desperate in need of salvation. That's the people who will cry and let the tears and let the snot come down and they don't care who sees it. That was Mary. It says, you did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Oh, I can imagine. This ointment that she was using was, she used this in her trade of prostitution. This helped things to be a little bit better. When people would smell that, they knew who this was. And many religious people said, get that out of here! And yet Jesus recognized what she was doing. She was giving up her job. She was giving up what she needed for her job. She was giving up what she felt was the most valuable thing in her life. And she starts rubbing that on his feet. Can you smell it? I don't know. Was it eucalyptus? But I'll bet you there was a very strong scent to it. And the whole room is filled with what Jesus' feet smelled like. Verse 47, he says, therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he was forgiven little, loves little. Oh, church. I'm afraid the church is filled with Simons. I'm afraid the church is, and I'll tell you this, I was a Simon growing up as a teenager. I felt like I was a good thing for the church. And then one day I realized I was a wretched sinner. I realized that I was in desperate need for what Jesus did on the cross. I know there's Marys in the church. Not all of them are women. There are men that I've seen come broken because of the life that they lived and the life that God has delivered them from. And that's exactly what Jesus did for Mary. He delivered her from her life. But here, I want you to listen to this. Here is what's exciting. When Jesus has an encounter with somebody, he used these words, follow me. Follow me. Most of y'all heard, there's something in your ear, you might have a little wax build up, you didn't hear him, and what you thought he said was, can I join you? I thought that. Have y'all seen that bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? The wrong person's flying if God's your co-pilot. All right? God is my pilot. But for so many years, I thought God was my co-pilot. Jesus said, follow me. He said it to Simon Peter. And what did Peter do? He left his fishing business and followed Jesus. I believe he said it to Mary Magdalene after he delivered her from 7 demons and from the institution of prostitution. And I believe she followed him. I'm going to show you that in a minute. And I believe he probably said the same words to Simon the Pharisee. Look over in chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, soon afterward he went out on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Who was one of those of the 12? I talked about him last week. Judas. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. It wasn't a popular thing for a rabbi to have women following his ministry. And yet Jesus, not only did he have women, but he had the least that you would pick from. Women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, who I believe that's chapter 7. And she had been healed from 7 demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Oh, Jesus said, follow me, and they followed him. They didn't ask him to come join and come bless what they're doing. They followed Jesus Christ. Remember what we started with in Demas? 2 Timothy 4:10, it said it this way, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The reason why you will leave the church is because what you wanted from God, he hasn't given you the way that you wanted it. And so you'll start looking around and you'll start seeing people that are more comfortable than you. You'll start seeing people that, you know what? It sounds like they're having a whole lot more fun on the lake on Sundays than I am at church getting yelled at by that guy. It looks like they're having a whole lot more fun, spending all their money than supporting the ministry. That's your heart. And that's your heart looking outside of these doors, outside of these walls, and starting to fall in love with what the world, the very stuff you left, the very stuff you ran from, the very stuff you were delivered from, you run back to. 1 John says it this way. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world. What did Demas? It says, he has forsaken me, having what? love this present world. 1 John 2 says, Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is a question that I'm confident that many of you are asking. Talk about Judas. Did Judas make it to heaven? No, he didn't. Did Demas make it to heaven? I doubt that. I am not the preacher that's going to try to tell you to make you feel better that, you know what, I think it worked out for Demas. Because I don't believe it did. I don't believe that after 6 years, when he forsook the ministry of the ministry of Paul, it says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The Bible tells us that he departed unto Thessalonica. I'm going to read a verse from the letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says this, for God did not appoint us to wrath. And I want you to hear me. God did not appoint Judas to wrath. God did not appoint Demas to wrath. And God has not appointed you to wrath. What is the wrath that is being spoken of there? It is a fiery hell that people will spend eternity living in if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I love to preach on heaven. But folks, the reason why there's a heaven is because there's a hell. And the hell wasn't designed for you. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But because you are choosing to be in their army and not the Lord's army, you will spend all of eternity with them. I've heard people talk about how that hell is just the absence of the presence of God. And while that is a correct statement because it comes straight from this word, don't get that mixed up. It's not just the absence. In that absence, you don't have his mercy. You now have his justice. And the Bible has more verses that speak on hell than heaven. And it says that it's a place where the torture and torment never, ever stops. You've heard me say this. Eternity is too long for you to be wrong on this. Today, you need to realize that you are in desperate need of a Savior. You need to pull out one of those pink cards and start reading what it says because it's very simple. We call it the ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. That's the easy part. We're all sinners. Believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God raised him from the dead, and then you confess that publicly. You're going to see a bunch of people do that in a couple of weeks through the baptism. Today, there's probably someone here today, there's someone watching online that needs to make that same confession. Today. For God did not appoint us to wrath. What did he appoint? What did he make available to us? But to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. That is why we come here on Sundays. Not to prove that we're better than the person sitting beside us or didn't come with us. Not to make sure that our marriage will make it a couple more years. Not to make sure that our children are going to turn out all right. The reason why we come is because we're grateful for what Jesus did for us. Amen. That he took our sins and he put upon himself. And he suffered being separated from God so that you wouldn't have to. Would you stand?